80% of gun owners think smart guns should be on the market, but they don't want to buy them. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech, Demystifying the Digital Economy. I'm Molly Wood. This week, Democratic presidential candidates are talking about the problem of gun violence. But is there a technology solution that can make guns safer? For decades, gun manufacturers and even some startups have tried to figure out how to create a smart gun, one that could only be fired by the gun's owner and could be activated by a fingerprint or a radio signal sent from the weapon to, say, a wristband. Gun researchers call these personalized guns, but so far, the tech hasn't gone anywhere. Cassandra Kerfassi is deputy director of the Johns Hopkins Center for Gun Policy and Research. I asked her what the barriers are.
So there are two main concerns, I think, that are driving down the potential market for personalized guns, and those are cost and concerns about the technology. And I think one of the challenges we're trying to weigh is that over the last several decades, we've had changes in the reasons people own firearms. 40 years ago, the ownership was predominantly for hunting. Now, the predominant reason for gun ownership is self-defense against other people. And if you're concerned about having a firearm to defend yourself in that kind of situation, then making sure the technology would work when you want to be able to use it could be, you know, a significant issue.
When you look at the overall numbers of gun deaths, how many of those could potentially be prevented by personalized guns?
Really, when we think about the benefits, sort of what types of injuries by firearm could be prevented with personalized guns, we're looking mostly at injuries among individuals who wouldn't be able to purchase firearms. So teen suicide by firearm, unintentional injuries and unintentional deaths by firearm among children, and then also the potential benefit to drive down homicide by reducing the ability to use a firearm that is personalized if it was stolen. But when you look at the burden of firearm deaths and the potential benefit, it's hard to make a really strong case that having personalized guns is really going to drastically drive down our burden of gun violence in this country.
So where would you like to see investment and research go?
I think that we could do a lot more to understand whose firearms are being used in suicide. Even though firearm suicide is the leading cause of firearm death, we have very little information on where those guns come from, when they were acquired, how they were stored in the home. And I think that we could do a lot to improve our ability to respond to and prevent suicide if we could get some better data to understand some of these precipitating factors.
Cassandra Kerfassi is deputy director of the Johns Hopkins Center for Gun Policy and Research. So far, no smart gun has been sold at a gun shop anywhere in America. And as to that question of cost, Kerfassi told us smart guns would potentially cost as much as $1,000 more than the dumb ones. And now for some related links. There's a fascinating story in Bloomberg Businessweek from earlier this year about the long history of attempts to create so-called smart or personalized guns. And it includes this whole tale about a 2002 law from New Jersey that said that as soon as smart guns were sold anywhere in the United States, then New Jersey's gun retailers could only sell smart guns within 3 years. So no more dumb guns in New Jersey. That, of course, caused an NRA freakout and death threats against a Maryland retailer who did want to sell personalized guns in 2014. That set the entire effort back even more. And over the years, no one has quite created a smart gun where the tech works perfectly in all situations. The Bloomberg story also includes a lot of details about how the tech industry has both tried to find and fund smart gun startups, but also shied away from gun startups for fear that it could lead to increased gun ownership. And then, of course, there's the politics, which is where we are going to end this podcast. You can find the Bloomberg story on our website, marketplacetech.org. I'm Molly Wood, and that is Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.